I'm going to ask Paul if you would come up here, please, and I'd love to just pray with you. And won't you reach out your hands as a sign of, hey, we like you, we open our hearts to you, and we like to bless you. And so let's bless Paul. And Father, we thank you for Paul and for this opportunity we have. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the way you move among us and for the word you've given him to deliver this day. And we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you'd bring forth life and freedom and great impact. Transform lives this day in Jesus' name, and bless Paul while he does it, Lord. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen.
Thank you, Greg. Such a joy and a pleasure and honor to be here. I know God is up to something good, something great. Whenever there's that place and context where sons and daughters of God gather for one purpose, that is to see his face and to hear his voice, he comes. And his nature is always to reveal more of him. Not the way religion approaches God, like, you know, predictable, like boring. He's amazing. I mean, when we go to heaven in eternity, we'll still see facets of God, unending. God reveals again and again for all eternity his goodness, his power, his love, his intentionality, his dreams, his being a father, comforter. For all eternity. And today, my prayer is that God would unveil facets of who he is as a father. The word father, in Latin, it is fundus, which means foundation. I think it's so significant that we are living in a season in the kingdom of God that he is unveiling this revelation that he is a father. I think as we press in into understanding and experiencing, demonstrating more of the kingdom of God in our lives, in our day-to-day lives, we have to go back to the foundation. Who wants to see more miracles happening? Who wants to see businesses are growing like crazy because God gives you secrets? Or new ideas for education or even for food, for architecture, engineering. Ideas that this world is yet to see, but God begins to unveil the secrets of the kingdom to his sons and daughters. The key is to go back to the foundation. Jesus is always about his Father. I wish I have more time that I could share to you portions of our history as a movement in the Philippines, Destiny Ministries International. And then how God brought us to seasons. I think it's important to understand that God brings us into seasons. There are eras and seasons in our journey, right? Yeah. Don't you know, in the Philippines right now, right this very moment, it is the peak of summer. Like you will be dehydrated. Crazy humidity, temperature at 40 degrees Celsius. I don't know how is that? 42. Even for me, an Asian, I will look for a place I can have AC, you know, just to cool down. But coming over here, wow, I like the weather here. I get to use my jacket. It's cool. Sunshine is beautiful. But imagine if I come here on a, maybe Atlanta is still good during during winter time. Maybe I'll use Minnesota. Just for an illustration of the importance of knowing the seasons we are in. Just imagine a Filipino with the mentality of a summertime flying to Minnesota. So I have my flip-flops and okay, sleeveless shirts and shorts on a winter time. What will happen to me? The moment I got out of the plane, I will freeze to death. I experienced it one time in Iowa. February, first time, first exposure of winter. It was bad. I was pulling my two suitcases out into the parking, and boy, the wind blew, and like I felt like my ears were falling off. And so many times, churches and movements are like that. We get into a season, but our mindsets and mentality are still in the old. And we can't engage the new season of God. It's either we retreat back and say, that's not for me. Or we will say, this is the will of God. This is it. We have it. And start to criticize and to mark what God is doing, the new things, and say, it's not biblical. And we end up offended and trapped in prison. I would say, our movements, and for me personally, I went into seasons in the kingdom, in my journey of understanding the kingdom. I would say the first wave in the early 90s, our movement was a movement of, just hungry students, seven students, hungry for revival, no pastor. In a university filled with left-leaning ideology. That's the recruitment area for the leaders, communist leaders, in the early 90s, 80s. I came in that context. Seven students gathered, read through the revival books of Charles Finney, John Wesley, and crying out in prayer, God, give us this revival. We want it. And boy, God showed up. And these seven students didn't know what to do. They didn't have pastor. I was one of the first harvest of 25. 7 plus 25. The first meeting I attended at was an overnight prayer meeting. A seeker-sensitive meeting. I mean, overnight. From a Catholic boy to experiencing God. You can't sleep. He is all over. I mean, you could breathe in the presence of God. You can even think of evil thoughts. You feel like falling and die. I can't afford. I mean, it's scary good. It was scary good. You just know God is there, and you're just broken, and your heart is in humility, and God, just use this moment. This is the season. We came into a season, and we are like the hunger prepared us for that season. Are you with me? And since then, we part of the 25, I'm going back to the overnight prayer meeting. After that prayer meeting, we went around our campus, university campus, and we anointed the university, poured cooking oil on wheels of cars, drive around campus, and we're like crazy students with oiled hands, laying hands on buildings. Oh, God! After 3 hours, we gathered around the right side of the library building. And then we started declaring, Jesus Christ is Lord over University of the Philippines, UPLB, the state university. All of us heard a loud blast, like a thick glass, blasting. We got so scared because we thought we broke one panel of glass, the wall of the library. We're like students, what happened? We look at the glass, it's there. It was supernatural. Then we started inviting people, sneaking in, lecture hall before the professor comes, 200 students. I would sneak in, preach the gospel, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 90% receiving Jesus. We distribute slips, they say yes, and then come, go. It was just, people were still crying. I was invited. I just sneak in, not invited. In a high school, during the recess time, and I just preach the word of the Lord. Lifted my hands like this. Who wants to receive Jesus? And they, maybe 25 students, lifted their hands like this, and the power of God hit them. That was the season. Every day we will be on our knees praying. 5:30 in the morning until 7, praying for revival, praying for the nations. Hunger brought us into places in God that we, it's totally impossible. Just human means. It was a gift, a grace that was released in the season. I believe God is moving on and is bringing us into a higher level. He is a God who moves us from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Maybe the reason you're bored is this. You are ripe for the next glory. Amen? Whew, this is good. Instead of saying, oh, God, where are you? Are you still moving? Why don't you shift your thinking and your just like me going out of that building? I have to engage the winter, and my thought is this, oh, even if I die, I have to get to the car. Are you with me? He's moving on from glory to glory to glory. And he is inviting each one of us. Will you be on board? The wave is here. I am singing all over the nations. We had no pastor. We only had hungry hearts. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. How hungry are you? Are you hungry for the new things of God? Because the hungry ones are the ones who will be filled. That was early 90s, 97, up to 97, we saw that wave. My first revival preaching, we had this 3 months. Every end of a semester, we had 3 days, 4 days of revival camps. Unbelievers getting saved. My first revival preaching was exactly 1 year after I got baptized in water and experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The preparation was 21 days, reading the lectures on revival and the Bible, fasting 21 days, crying out, God, do this in my time. So then my turn to preach came right after lunchtime. On a summer day, no air condition. The best time for Filipinos to take a nap. The worst time to preach. I was assigned to preach a fiery sermon. Prior to that, I just prayed like, you know, 19-year-old, praying, God, you have to move. If not, take me home. Watch out. He answers those wild prayers. Take me home. And then came my time to preach. I started preaching like 300 or more student mixed group. Some are drug addicts, some are, you know, crazy lives, broken lives. I was preaching and I felt like they were not listening. Like I was preaching on a wall. I was so discouraged inside of me. I had conversation with the Holy Spirit. Is this it? 21 days for this? Sweaty, and the people are yawning. And I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's time to close in prayer. I closed in prayer. I said this simple prayer. I said, God, maybe mix the frustration and all of it, the passion, the hunger. I said, God, if you're really the God of Elijah, send down your fire. I felt something fell from heaven, hit the 300 students. Simultaneously, on their knees, they drop, hiding on chairs, metal folding chairs, banging all over. It was scary. I got so scared to the point I ran out. I ran away. I asked my leader, what do we do? He said, I don't know. Go back. So I was standing and with my notes here, outline notes, and I was just reminded of the time in Charles Finney. The people were so convicted, and he gave this the platform for, or the altar for people to, you know, make right before God their issues. And I just said, any one of you are convicted by the Lord to speak out, to say something. Oh boy, people ran to the pulpit, grabbed the microphone. One by one, they confessed their sins. Scary sins. Like my notes, totally messed up. Tears and snot. All over. And there was waves of conviction, people crying, and then afterwards laughter and conviction. It went from 2:30 in the afternoon until 12 midnight. Nobody left the place to eat. Those who were preparing meals, they can't even cut the meat. The presence of God would come. They dropped everything, dropped on their knees. God came. Are you hungry? Are you hungry enough to say, whatever it takes, step in. Step in our situation. I don't want to do church, just the regular church. I want the presence of God to be the center of what I do and who I am. That was the wave in the 90s, and it was awesome.